present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week for a second visit to the fine Yorkshire seaside town of Scarborough. The town's name originated in the time of the Viking occupation and is derived from two words. Bur means a fortified town, while scar is an early form of reggae music. In 1626, Elizabeth Farrow discovered natural spring water running from one of the cliffs here and decided to build Scarborough Spa. Obviously, she had to have the spring sealed off before building her convenience store. Now, this coast has more than its fair share of agreeable towns, and nearby Whitby was awarded Best Seaside Resort of 2006 by Witch Holiday magazine, as so many witches take their holidays there. Whitby is also famous for the town's association with Dracula, considered by many to be Yorkshire's finest opening bat. Scarborough is rightly proud of its efficient rail links, and in 1994 an express route was established to Hull, with the initial 100 passengers being issued commemorative framed certificates. The first went to a Mrs. Jennifer Alexander. It's too soon to say who might get the second one. It was while on holiday that the Victorian novelist Anne Bronte died. The Grand Hotel bears a blue plaque recording Anne Bronte's death, and in fact, many of Scarborough's buildings have plaques fixed to their walls listing those who've died there. So, before we're interrupted by a man with a stepladder and a power drill, on my left, Barry Cryer and Jeremy Hardy. And on my right, Timbrooke Taylor and Joe Brand. And here to keep a tally of every score, please welcome the delightful Samantha. Okay, well, we start this week with a round of Uxbridge English Dictionary. The English language has many useful terms, but it's important to use the right one on the right occasion. When the Liberal Democrat leader, Nick Clegg, was asked at a press conference to define the difference between his party's policies and their aspirations, he explained that policies are what the Lib Dems will introduce when they come to power, while aspirations were drowned out by the laughter. Word meanings are constantly changing, so teams, let's hear any new definitions you've spotted recently. Barry, you can start.
Disgusted. The wind has dropped.
Joe?
Cuticle. A rather nice testicle.
Why, thank you.
Jeremy?
Dictionary, the rude version of Pictionary.
Definite, reason for not hearing proper.
Aerospace, room for more chocolate.
Shuttlecock, a space chicken.
Flippant. An insect who maximises his expenses claims by redesignating his second home.
Yeah. Pantomime. Why fronts for the deaf?
Pastoral. Too old for foreplay.
Canapay, Scottish inability to pay bills.
Cornucopia, coming to terms with your foot ailment.
Hydrangea, a fun game played by Yogi and Boo Boo.
S- Snowman, Sir Woman.
Eeyore, a prostitute who advertises on the internet.
Well, the teams are going to sing along with a selection of well-known discs now in the round called Pick Up Song. Samantha spends a lot of time down in the record library researching old recordings and music videos. This week, the archivists found some original 8mm film footage of Woodstock. Samantha set up a small projector, and then they sat down to enjoy watching Joe Cocker against the wall. Samantha is back at the turntable now and ready to give the discs a spin. You should sing along, teams, and keep going when Samantha turns the volume down. If, when the music fades back in, you're within a gnat's crotchet of the original, I'll be awarding points, and points mean prizes. What's the capital of Norway?
Prizes!
This week's prize is sure to delight... This week's prize is sure to delight every chimney sweep who likes to take his work with him in designer style. It's this matching set of Louis Vuitton suitcases. And Barry, you're to start, and I'd like you to accompany Aled Jones singing Walking in the Air.
We're floating in the moonlight sky. The people far below are sleeping as we fly. I'm holding very tight. I'm riding in the midnight blue. I'm finding I can fly so high above with you. One, two, three, four. 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 Far across the world, the villages go by like dreams.
Far across the world.
Oh, near enough.
Okay, you're next, Joe. I'd like you to accompany Doris Day singing Here Comes Santa Claus.
Great.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Vixen and Blitzen and all his reindeer are pulling on the reins. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He's got a bag that's filled with toys for the boys and girls again. Hear the sleigh bells jingle jangle, what a beautiful sight. Jump in bags and cover up your head, cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Here comes Santa Claus.
Here comes Santa Claus.
Santa Claus.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Joe. That was great. A lovely Christmassy atmosphere was created with the joyous clapping and, of course, the jingle bell accompaniment of Barry and Jeremy. Really a magical moment. Thank you, Jeremy. Your turn now, Tim. Would you accompany Bob Dylan singing Winter Wonderland?
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in the winter wonderland. Gone away is my credibility. In his place is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in the winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman.
We can build a snowman.
I think probably for the first time in the history of the show, that was better than the original tune. Finally, Jeremy, can you please accompany Elvis Presley singing Blue Christmas?
Okay. I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. And when those blue snowflakes start falling, that's when those blue memories start calling.
I want your baby, Elvis.
You'll be doing all right with your Christmas of white.
I'll talk.
But I'll have a blue.
You'll be doing all right with your
Christmas. It's okay, Jeremy. We've called your mother. She's coming to collect you. The teams are going to display their acting skills now in the round called Sound Charades. And this is a radio version of the old TV favourite, Give Us a Clue. In the original, the teams weren't allowed to speak, which caused the audience to collapse in helpless laughter. In this version, the teams are allowed to speak. The grand master of the game was, of course, Lionel Blair, whose range of mime methods was breathtaking. Given Raging Bull, Lionel once did an impression of every fighter in the movie in under 2 minutes. There's no one has boxers off faster than Lionel. Well, Tim and Joe, you're to start, please, and your title will shortly be displayed to the audience via the plasma display screen. For listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Jack and the Beanstalk. Jack and the Beanstalk.
And off you go.
It's four words.
Four.
It's a story and an annual event.
Hi, Mr. D. How are things?
Oh, not too bad. How about you, Harry Coe?
mustn't grumble. That probably will. Things are worse for Black and Kidney, aren't they, boys?
Certainly are. Is it me, or is it hot in here? I feel half-baked. Tell the truth, I feel a bit of a has.
The end.
Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yeah. It's your turn, Barry and Jeremy. Your title's now being exhibited on the laser display board. And here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
QI. QI.
This is two letters.
Yeah.
Dougal. You'll have had your tea.
Hamish, you numpty, it's not Dougal, it's the Laird.
Oh, sorry, your lairdship, it's all in the steam room, I couldn't quite
I know, it's damnably hot here in the Turkish
indeed.
Baths,
oh,
isn't
jinx,
it?
I'm going to take this towel off.
Hamish, that was my towel you just took off.
Oh, now I recognise you, your lairdship. My goodness me. Didn't I see you last night?
You did, yes, yes. I sustained the most frightful injury. I popped into the local to rub shoulders with some of my small holders, as I do from time to time, and I joined in a new game called snooker.
Oh, snooker,
and
yes,
there
sir.
I was, spread across the table, trying to get my balls down.
Yes, yes.
I made the most frightful mistake. I didn't realise you're supposed to let your opponent take their shot first.
Oh, my goodness me. It looks so red.
It is. It's very red. And also slightly sore.
Can you still see out of it?
Oh, you're talking about that. Yes, well, what happened?
Around,
what happened was, you see, that there I was on the table, but my opponent jabbed the long, pointy stick thing, you see, and he jammed it right into me, causing that ocular injury.
Oh, I see. I see what you mean.
It's the ocular equivalent of tennis elbow.
Oh. Oh, real. Ah, I know what that would be. I'll write it down for you here. Would I be right?
Ah, that's it, yes.
Oh, good.
You couldn't remember what it was. It was a Was television.
It is television.
It might be QI, might be.
Yes!
OK, well, we move on to our version of the ever-popular radio discussion programme. Any questions? I have a selection of questions sent by loyal listeners and one from a disloyal listener, to which the answer is, yeah, you and whose army? You'd think President Ahmadinejad would have better things to do with his time, wouldn't you? OK, teams, let's see if you can solve these knotty problems. Tim, what's a simple and inexpensive way to make my skin glow?
Go swimming at Sellafield.
You meant to
Is
bend...
that right?
No.
Oh.
You're meant to bend over at the waist. As
right. Where else?
Oh, please. We don't come to Scarborough that often, you know. Bend over at the waist as far as you possibly can go and hold to the count of 30. Well, that's what he told me anyway. Here's one for Barry. How can I make my bust look bigger?
Stand nearer to people.
Let's see, stuff your bra with chicken fillets or padding of some sort. Also, wearing tight tops and arching your back slightly can create the illusion of a bigger chest. So,
is that what he told you as well, Jack?
Joe, if I ever have to save myself by surfing down a molten lava flow, what would... This is hypothetical. What would be a good thing to stand on?
Your husband. In my case, anyway.
He says you'd be best off using high-purity alumina insulating refractory concrete.
Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, we all know
there
that.
There are usually handy supplies of that near any volcano, you'll find.
Yeah.
Jeremy, what is snot?
It's one of your kids' five a day.
Tim, where's the best place to put the mirror when applying mascara?
Just above the steering wheel.
Jeremy, what's the significance of the black dot in the middle of white bird droppings?
That's the best bit.
In actual fact, the black bit in the middle is the feces, and the white stuff is the urine.
Ah,
so enjoy your, at once.
Enjoy your tea, anyone listening at home. Barry,
what a top tip.
The other day I noticed a large bee enter the door of my train carriage. Later I saw it depart at a station 10 miles down the line. Will the bee find its way home?
Yes, he could use the replacement buzz service.
Thank you, Barry. You know your dressing gown's hanging open, don't you?
Only you would be interested, Jack.
Bees employ special orientation flights to memorise near and distant landmarks relative to the nest. As well as these cues, they use the sun's position as a landmark, and they also all have sat-nav. Finally, Joe, what is the purpose of pubic hair?
It's a garnish.
Well, thank you, teams. Both informative and amusing is what that should have been. The teams are going to take us back to a golden age of letter writing now. Letter writing these days has all but died out with the advent of Twittering. And that's where keen Twitterers have to convey things of interest to the rest of us in no more than 140 characters. And from what I've seen, it does take some discipline to pad them out to that. Oh, excuse me, one second. Stephen's just washed his hair. Okay, teams, I'd like you to take it in turns to improvise the correspondence between two people. Barry and Jeremy, I'd like you to start by composing a letter from Peeping Tom to Lady Godiva, and then Tim and Joe will come up with the reply and so on. However, the challenge is that the letters must be constructed by each panellist, alternating one word at a time. So off you go, Barry and Jeremy.
Dear...
Lady.
Ship.
I.
Want.
To.
Tell.
You.
That.
I.
Think.
You
are
particularly
attractive
when
you
ride
a
horse
through
Coventry
on
weekdays.
Also,
I
want
to
tell
you
that
your
figure
reminds
me
of
a
beautiful,
large,
yet
trim
and
curvaceous
swan,
which
I
saw
once
on
a
lake
and
ate.
When
I
saw
you
riding
that
horse,
I
nearly
burst
with
delight
because
I
glimpsed
a
tiny
bit
of
your
delightful,
tempting,
yet
maddeningly round
bum.
So,
if
you
could
be
so
kind
as
to
send
me
a
picture
of
your
bum
by Peeping
Tom. Peeping
Tom,
really,
it
is
just
unacceptable
for
someone
to
do
what
you
are
doing
so
unrepentantly.
Go
away.
Also,
Mr.
Tom,
who
has
got
a
big
and
swollen
part,
really,
I
will
stab
you
in
the
part
that
you
like
most.
Yours
sincerely,
Lady
Godiva.
It's music time again with Swanee Kazoo. Piano accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell. Fans will be interested to learn that Colin was once seen playing keyboards in suede. Must have made a nice change from his usual nylon slacks. So, Tim and Joe, you can start, and I'd like you to provide us with a rendition of Brown Girl in the Ring to feature Joe Brand on the kazoo and Tim Brooke Taylor on the Swanee Whistle. Jeremy, I'd like you to provide us with a rendition of The Girl from Ipanema to feature Barry Cryer on the kazoo and Jeremy Hardy on the Swanee Whistle.
Thank you.
It's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time for a round of Fisherman's Songbook. Our fish stocks are being affected by all sorts of problems. Just recently it was discovered that pollution of our rivers by contraceptive pill residue is turning male fish into females. This was noticed after they started swimming with their heads out of the water. Okay, I'll invite the teams to suggest titles of songs likely to appeal to an audience of fishermen. So, Joe, you can start this one.
This is Dead and Gutted to the One I Love.
And Barry.
Long Trawl Sally.
Tim.
Twist and Trout.
Jeremy.
Skate Ruffian Roll Mop.
Get Me to the Perch on Time.
Flashbang Wallop What a Pilchard.
And from the Sex Pilchards album, Never Mind the Pollock, Anchovy in the UK, and Cod Save the Queen's Scallop.
Whale Kipper Welk Home in the Eel Sides.
Good Lord.
Yeah, that's so good.
Hey Hey with a Monkfish.
Bream the Impossible Bream. Happy Days Are Here Again.
Prawn Free.
Roll over bait.
Maybe you can drive my carp. Sorry, I lost the will to live in Medway.
We're all going on a summer halibut.
Remember, you're a winkle.
Oh, yes. We play this at my local Get a Life Club, you know.
And with that is the end of the show, and in fact, the end of the series. But before we go, I've just been passed a note asking me to point out my most enjoyable highlights of the last 6 weeks. I thought Spooks was good. So from the team, Samantha, myself and our audience here in Scarborough, it's goodbye. Goodbye!
Cryer, Jeremy Hardy, Timbrook Taylor and Joe Brand have been given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. Program consultant was Ian Pattinson, producer was John Naismith.